I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about interpretations of history. Interpretations of history. This is a very important point to make, I think, because I've been meditating for the past few days on the conflict that we have here in America. I've really been stirred up over what's going on with Judge Roy Moore down in Alabama, which continues to make headlines in the news because President Trump came out and he rallied for Luther Strange, Moore's opposition. And then Trump said in his rally there in Alabama, he said he might have made a mistake in supporting Luther Strange, at least according to Breitbart, but he hasn't come out for complete support for Judge Roy Moore. Now, all of this is very, very interesting because people are arguing that Luther Strange represents the establishment that Trump is supposed to be opposing. And so this is why there's so much controversy around it. And people insist, people who are serious conservatives and Christians and so on, are arguing that Judge Roy Moore really needs to win this Alabama Senate seat. And of course, Judge Moore is known for his very strong Bible-based Christian view of American government. But in the midst of all of this, what it comes down to is Judge Moore's understanding of American history versus the understanding of the left and those who have been fighting to push God out of government more and more. And really to push God out of government completely, which is the point that many people are at, especially on the left in the Democratic Party. They believe that God and the Bible have no place in government. I mean, I've had conversations with university students who say that even today, if you're going to a college or a university, it's not uncommon. If you make reference to the Bible, you will be told that you're making reference to a book that has no authority. And it shows how far our country has fallen from its beginning. And there's no question, brethren, that our history is a tangle of information. It really is. I've studied it for years. And I continue to learn things that I did not know. And there's so many books and so many essays and so many different takes on things. I was reading a book. Somebody sent me a link to a book. And I was reading through the book. And I was going through it. I don't want to mention the name of it right now because I haven't gone through it all. But immediately reading a few paragraphs of it, I found problems with some of the historic information. And a book written by a prominent author. It's not uncommon. But it goes back and forth. And then you have to investigate it more deeply. And you have to say, okay, why is he saying this here? It doesn't really make sense that he said that about this, because you have A, B, C, and D that disagree with him. Why would he take this view? And then you don't want to automatically assume that he somehow or other deliberately misrepresenting information. I don't like to do that with people. I like to try and give people the benefit of the doubt and then say, okay, well, how did he come to this conclusion? Let me look into it and see if I can figure it out. And sometimes you can figure it out and sometimes you can't. But one of the documents I've been reviewing here recently is the James Madison's Memorial and Remonstrance Against Religious Assessments, 1785. His Memorial and Remonstrance, okay? In other words, he's protesting, he's objecting to a bill that had been presented that was supposedly trying to advance the cause of Christianity. Okay? And he says, a bill printed by order of the last session of General Assembly entitled, quote, a bill establishing a provision for teachers of the Christian religion and conceiving that the same, if finally armed with the sanctions of a law, will be a dangerous abuse of power, are bound as faithful members of a free state to remonstrate against it and to declare the reasons by which we are determined. In other words, the idea that you're going to have a bill establishing a provision for teachers of the Christian faith. That was the view. And then once you begin to follow that down its course, you realize, okay, what teachers are going to be chosen? What are their qualifications? Now, this brings you back into all of the doctrinal issues that had been debated for centuries. Are you going to choose somebody who's a Calvinist, a Presbyterian, a Baptist, a Methodist, a Quaker? What views can they have? What views can they not have? It opens up a whole can of worms. It used to be that taxpayers had to pay a tax to the church regardless of whether you believed, whether you could be a complete atheist. It didn't matter. You had to pay a tax to the church. And you can imagine why many people would object to that. I will say this, that churches have done much better financially, much, much better than without any kind of state funding. They've done much better without state funding than they ever did with it. And of course, some people would even argue that they've done too well. And now you have these mega churches that just bring in tens of millions of dollars and so on every year. And they're through the roof. So, but Madison is opposing all of this because it seems to be pointing in the direction of developing a national church. And there were many people in the colonies who opposed that idea. And the reason they opposed it is because they saw, one, Rome. What happened when you have the Roman Catholic Church, the Roman Universal Church, and now Rome is telling you what official Christianity must be, and nobody can deviate from their declarations. That was one problem. Then the Reformation happens, and the Protestant Church of England, the Anglican Church, is formed, but then the Anglican Church becomes its own tyrannical power. It begins to fall into many of the same problems. Not as bad, I don't think. Not as bad, but still tyrannical enough that there were many who dissented against it, and that's the reason why many people came to America, because they wanted to escape what they saw as a tyrannical imposition of the Church of England on a variety of issues. And it's why they oppose things like confessions of faith and this kind of thing, because all of that reminded them of the legalism that they were trying to get away from. But they were not trying to get away from Christianity. What they wanted was to be able to obey Christianity, the teachings of Christianity, according to their own conscience under God. That was their ambition overall, at least from what I'm finding collectively. They had different ideas about how to do that, but they weren't trying to get away from Christianity. They were trying to get away from a Pharisee, Sadducee type system of legalism that was empowered by the state, that would end up becoming tyrannical on matters of doctrine and religious opinion. That's what they were trying to avoid. So this seems to be the context of what Madison is referring to. However, some people will read Madison's Memorial and Remonstrance and come to the conclusion that he is trying to drive Christianity out of government, and that he somehow or other thinks Christianity should have, and the Bible and God and so on, should have nothing to do with government. There are some who will use what he said in that way. The problem with that is it's just not consistent with everything that he says in this remonstrance. And he gives the reasons why he wrote his objections. And he says at one point here in point six that I wanted to go over, he says, quote, because the establishment proposed by the bill is not requisite or required for the support of the Christian religion. He says, you don't need a bill from the government to support the Christian religion. And he says, to say that it is a contradiction to the Christian religion itself, for every page of it disavows a dependence on the powers of this world. It is a contradiction to fact, for it is known that this religion, meaning Christianity, both existed and flourished, not only without the support of human laws, but in spite of every opposition from them. And not only during the period of miraculous aid, but long after it had been left to its own evidence and the ordinary care of providence. Nay, it is a contradiction in terms, for a religion not invented by human policy must have pre-existed and been supported before it was established by human policy. So Madison, and by the way, just so we understand, if you read the whole context of Madison's remonstrance, he is arguing from a Christian perspective. He is himself arguing as though he is a Christian man. Now, what his theology was in depth, that I honestly could not tell you. I have only briefly researched Madison in the past, but going through his letters in the same way that I've done with people like Jefferson and Franklin and Washington and others, I haven't done that with Madison. But I am planning to do that here with our upcoming film on the true Christian history of America, because Madison's very important. He's considered the father of the Constitution. He's the one who wrote the First Amendment. But as I've talked about before, if you want to understand the First Amendment and its original purpose, I think the best source on that, from what I've seen, is Supreme Court Justice Joseph Story and his explanation of the First Amendment, because he makes it clear, and this was a real turning point for my understanding, Story's argument. And he served on the Supreme Court for more than 30 years, and he was appointed by James Madison. This is why I think Story is so important. But anyway, Story basically says in a nutshell that the purpose of the First Amendment was not to make Christianity equal to other religions. And he specifically names Mohammedism, Buddhism, infidelity, etc. That's not the purpose of the First Amendment, which I found very interesting. Now, with that in view, we're coming up on a commercial break here in a minute, but with that in view, we're going to go down to point 12 in Madison's remonstrance here, and we're going to read what James Madison says about Christianity versus the other world religions. It's important that we understand something. One of the big problems in the Western world, not just in America, but the entire Western world, Western Europe in particular, is a refusal to acknowledge the first command, where God says, I am the Lord thy God, ye shall have no other gods before me. And what's happened is the first command has been compromised. And now we're being told, since about midway through the 20th century, with Vatican Council II in particular, that somehow or other all religions are one and the same, and that they are to be counted co-equal by law. This is what has given entrance to Islam in particular in the Western world. All right, let's go to our commercial break. We're going to talk more when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today: the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. Today we're talking about James Madison's Memorial and Remonstrance. That has some very interesting things to say. Now, before we go on with this, I want to read a few verses here from Psalm chapter 33. Psalm chapter 33. At verse 8, it says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Praise God. Now, what I think is so, I love reading scriptures like this because it is a reminder to me when we're seeing all of these things go on in the world and we're seeing all this treachery and the betrayal of the Western world, and we've got the socialists and the communists, and then we've got the jihadis and so on. It's important to remember. It's why we've got to lift our eyes to heaven and trust the Lord. Verse 10 that tells us the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. This is why God says in Isaiah chapter 8 that we should not say it is a confederacy after all that this people call a confederacy. But the Lord, he shall be your fear, he shall be your dread, and then shall he be a haven unto thee. That's what we're called to. We're called to fear God, to trust in him, and then he will deliver us from the hands of all our enemies. And whatever schemes they've got and have conjured up against us, it won't matter because God can turn it all upside down. Now, I don't from that argue, obviously, that we are to do nothing, that we're not to act or whatever, but we've got to remember to look to God above all things and have him direct our path and show us what we ought to do, because therein will we find good success and deliverance. In fact, Psalm chapter 34, verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." All right, so moving on with James Madison and his remonstrance. Now, he's responding to a bill that was calling for provision for Christian teachers, taxpayer money for Christian teachers. And he says this, he opposes it because, he says, quote, because the policy of the bill is adverse to the diffusion of the light of Christianity. Now, when he says diffusion there, it's diffusion, D-I-F-F-U-S-I-O-N. Not diffusion, but diffusion, meaning to spread abroad. Like we have in film lighting and so on, you'll have diffusion, like this frosted colored gels, and you put it on a light, and it causes the light to spread throughout the room. So the policy of the bill, he says, is adverse to the spreading of the light of Christianity. It actually opposes spreading the light of Christianity. Now think about that, brethren. This is very, very important. Because whether we agree with all the points that Madison makes in this remonstrance that he's written, whether you agree with everything he said or not, he's disagreeing with these other Christian men who have written this bill that they think is going to help the cause of Christianity. He's saying, no, it's not going to help the cause of Christianity. It's going to oppose the cause of Christianity. It's going to hinder Christianity if you do that. He says it's adverse to the spreading of the light of Christianity. He says, the first wish of those who enjoy this precious gift ought to be that it may be imparted to the whole race of mankind. That's what he says, that the gift of Christianity ought to be imparted to the whole race of mankind. He says, compare the number of those who have as yet received it, meaning Christianity, with the numbers still remaining under the dominion of false religions. And how small is the former? Meaning, those who have received Christianity is much smaller than those who are under the dominion of false religions. Now, this is why, if you compare what Madison is saying with what Supreme Court Justice Joseph Story says, notice neither of them are telling us that they believe Christianity should be counted equal with paganism. In fact, if that's what Madison believed, why would he call them false religions? Why would he say that? He wouldn't say that. I mean, certainly no politician today, well, and maybe there are some that would, but most politicians today would not refer, they would not say that Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism and so on, that these are false religions, because that would be seen as politically incorrect, and you're insulting, and you're not being very gracious, and you're intolerant, and all this other kind of stuff. That's how that would be seen. But you have political leaders and judges referring to other religions as false or imposter religions all the way through the 19th century. This idea that Christianity must or should be counted equal to paganism is really a 20th century invention. It's something that came about through the 20th century and really gained traction through Vatican Council II. We can trace it back even sooner to the Parliament of World Religions in 1893. That's the first time when you have so-called Christian leaders, professing Christian leaders, meeting with all these different leaders of world religions and talking about the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man and all this kind of stuff. That was kind of the beginnings of it at a global level. But it has really gained momentum through the 20th century, and where it becomes dangerous, brethren, is this, when they begin implementing this through law. This is why the Church of Satan thinks they can build a statue of Satan and put it next to a monument of the Ten Commandments, and you have to do that supposedly because that's equal. Madison would not have said that was equal. Neither would all of the judges and lawyers and so on in early America. They would not have said that Satanists have a right to put a statue of the devil out in front of the courthouse. They would not have said that. At least not from any of the research that I've seen, brethren. Now, if you find something out there, send it to me. People send me stuff all the time. And I will, if it's something that you think proves something to the contrary, send it to me so I can review it, because I'd love to see it. All right. So let's go over a little bit more of the rest of this. Now, remember, he's talking about the number of people. What Madison seems to want is he seems to want to encourage non-Christian people to come into the country so that they can be exposed to the light of Christianity, so that they can hear the gospel and hopefully believe it and be saved. That's what he's arguing here. And he says that the way these other guys are going about it, he says that their bill at once discourages those who are strangers to the light of revelation from coming into the region of it. And so it's almost like he thinks, you know, like if you have a church policy that discourages unbelievers from coming into the church, well, how are they going to hear the gospel? Madison goes on to say that those who are following other religions in the nations, he says they continue in darkness. Okay? He does not in any way suggest that what they believe is equal to Christianity. And he says that this bill that's been proposed, he says, quote, instead of leveling as far as possible every obstacle to the victorious progress of truth, the bill, with an ignoble and unchristian timidity, would circumscribe it. In other words, it would be a hindrance to the progress of truth. And he's already made it very clear that by the truth he means Christianity. This is what's very interesting about our history, brethren. A very, very different approach taken by the political leaders of the founding era. All right, we are out of time today, brethren. That's going to do it for us. That's our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.